Hey, everybody, this is Brian Dodd, co-host of the Pursuit of Service podcast. So thrilled to come to you. And obviously, we are wrapping up the year of 2022. We are heading into the year of 2023. And any leader worth his salt is making 2023 plans or has already made them and is reviewing them. But they've got their focus on 2023, obviously finishing 2022 strong, but looking ahead. And that's what we're going to talk about today. My co-host, Jeff Wright, as you know, and we've talked about this in some previous podcasts, he's an entrepreneur in addition to all his other activities. And he started a company called Wright Wealth. And so he's been getting together with his new teammates. He's been talking about the year strategy coming up for 2023. And what we're going to do is, for all leaders listening to this, we're going to walk through Jeff's process of developing that 2023 strategy. And then in that, help give you some of the tools and tricks of the trade, so to speak, to help you develop your own strategic planning process. So obviously, however you take notes, notepad, you know, on your computer, however you take notes, you're going to want to take notes on this. So let's get ready to learn from Jeff. And welcome to this month's edition of the Pursuit of Service podcast.
Well, happy Christmas, Brian.
Merry Christmas to you, Jeff. How are you doing, my friend?
Good, good. I love Happy Christmas. I love Merry Christmas too, but there's something whimsical about the way the British say Happy Christmas. So every now and then I throw that one in.
You know what? I'm embarrassed. My father-in-law is British, still has the accent, and I did not know that. So you have just made my family get together. I'm going to be much more interesting and score some points with my father-in-law, which I'm still trying to do after 31 years of marriage. So,
well, I will say, don't place too much weight on my cultural assumption. I'm going off of movies like Love Actually or The Holiday that have British characters. So,
all right. That sounds really good. Well, I tell you what, Jeff, I talked about this on the introduction. I mean, it's been an unbelievable 2022 for you and I. You've been launching businesses, I've been writing books and getting my daughter married, and it's just been an unbelievable year. But at a certain point, we now, all of this stuff we've been building, we gotta put it into motion and really see it start to grow. And I know you've been working hard on a 2023 plan with your team, and I'd love for you just to walk us through that and kind of how you put that together and what other business leaders and ministry leaders can know about putting together a plan for the following year. This is obviously going to be evergreen content. You can play this every year and as each new year approaches. But yeah, Jeff, go ahead and start walking us through that process, and I'll probably ask some follow-up questions along the way, but teach us and we're ready to learn.
Yeah, it's kind of like that time of year when you stop and pause and reflect is just a great time of year to also start to look forward and shift your attention. And so over the next couple of weeks and moving into January, there's a lot of that going on. And this is very much to push you into the future. So I'll talk about kind of three stages of the process. One is sort of preparation or before the meeting, if you will. Okay. The second one I'll spend the majority of time on is building an agenda for a strategy meeting.
Okay.
And then the last is follow-up and execution.
All right. Okay. I'm taking notes here. So that's what the silence is for all the listeners. I'm taking notes with everybody else. So, okay, Jeff, you mentioned preparation, obviously prepare, repair. So let's walk into preparation.
Yep. And obviously, the first point is to think about that agenda, think about what you want to accomplish, think about your goals and all those things in advance. You don't want to say, all right, we're going to have a year ahead strategy meeting and we're going to take off into the future and then show up and say, well, I don't know what our strategy is. What's our strategy? It's an effective, especially as a leader, an effective strategy meeting is not a white sheet, you know, marker board brainstorming session. There's a good amount of that included, but you really have to think about it in advance and as the leader decide what that looks like. And I think you should send that high level agenda. So if you build a loose agenda that you're thinking about all the details, send that loose agenda ahead to those on your team or those that'll be in the meeting. And importantly, say, hey, check it out. These are some of the high level things we're going to talk about. I'd like you to think about it and think about the input that you will have.
Okay.
So one of the central themes is to seek buy-in towards the strategy. You want to make it collaborative. You set the tone, you set the direction as the leader, but you're really seeking buy-in to help to build that culture.
Okay.
You don't always listen to everything everybody says, or but you seek that buy-in in the direction you're headed.
Okay. So I got a couple of questions. Okay. So let's, the two questions are going to be about the agenda itself that you sent over, and then the seeking the buy-in. So the agenda itself that you sent over, how did you come up with that agenda? I mean, I'm sure in that is revenue goals, development goals for the team, maybe expansion, things of that nature. Was there some quote unquote method behind the madness, or how did you come up with the agenda?
Yeah, great question. And you'll start to see it when I get into the next section about what the agenda actually is. But okay. The short answer is starting big and getting granular. Start big and move to small. So you'll see, we'll talk about reviewing what the vision and mission is, and then moving into long-term goals, into short-term goals, into execution, and into tracking, basically. Okay. So that is generally what drove the flow of my strategy meeting.
Okay. And the second thing, and I think this is something very important, because I'm thinking, okay, if I'm on your team and you send this to me ahead of time, here's the value I see in it as somebody that received it. Number one, just sheer respect. You can't leapfrog leaders. The sheer respect that you're inviting me in to the discussion of the future of our organization, it's a compliment. Okay. So, appreciate that. Number two, it gives me time to process information.
Mm-hmm.
People process information at different speeds. And if I just am presented that info at the meeting, I may come up with some great questions or suggestions, but it may take me a day or so to do that. And I didn't add value in the meeting. And so here's the thing. So now when the meeting itself takes place, it's just a much better meeting because everybody's informed, everybody's prepared, hopefully, everybody's adding value, hopefully, and it just creates a much more collaborative, productive experience. That's the way I view it as a recipient of the agenda in advance. Any other thoughts you want to add to that?
Yeah, that's perfect insight, because that's ultimately what I'm trying to convey or accomplish is that sense of respect. And the last part of the preparation is a little bit different, because we're talking about a strategy meeting where you get your team together and set the distance. But the last and very important part of it, and you can kind of fit this anywhere based on your organization's culture and schedule. I prefer to do it before the team strategy meeting. But I spoke to my teammates one at a time, one-on-one, and just asked, hey, how's it going? What, and especially as a new organization, how's it going so far? Have your, how are your expectations, and are they being met or not? What are your frustrations? I literally ask these questions. What are you frustrated about? What can I be doing better? And the reason for that is we're servant leaders. We want to know how we can serve those that we lead. And if you set that up ahead of time, especially, but at any point in the process, then when you get to that strategy meeting, the person already knows that they're valued, that they're cared about, that they're respected, that their input is going to be weighed. And guess what? That's how you get buy-in, because they feel like a valuable contributor rather than a recipient of information.
Jeff, that's so good. And I think another thing it does, because you've been talking about offense, for lack of a better phrase, with everything you just said, there is a little defense to that too. If there is frustration, and they're not happy with something, then when you get to that important step two meeting that we're about to discuss, they don't hijack the meeting with those issues.
That's right. Yeah. And you can be thinking of it, because a big part of, you'll see this when we get into the tactics, is where can we improve things and improve efficiencies and get better. Anything about the future should be about getting better. So if you know ahead of time where you personally as a leader or the team can get better, you can build that into it, which then again props up that person's feedback as valued.
Well, here's the thing. If you're listening to this podcast, regardless of what Jeff talks about in points two and three, the value of the meeting before the meeting and the value of preparation, Jeff may have just saved your leadership. And you need to rewind the last 5 minutes and just listen to everything that Jeff just talked about. So with that being said, we're now prepared well. Okay, so now let's go to point number two.
Yeah, so this is the meat and the potatoes. I appreciate your comments just now. And it's not the flashy part, the preparation, but it's the foundation and perhaps the even more important part. But the meat and potatoes is when I had the strategy, the year ahead strategy meeting itself. And this is the agenda that I built out. Like I said a minute ago, it sort of starts big, and each step we're going to go a little bit smaller. And the reason why is, if you think about it, if you're looking at a map, you have to plot your starting point and your end point at a high level map before you zoom in and chart the route that you take along the way. And so that's the exercise that we're trying to accomplish here. And it just starts with reviewing your organization's mission and vision and values. So just go over them, remind everybody. Now, it's not just a reminder, and this is what I reiterated to folks, because, okay, everybody knows the mission, and as leaders, we have to repeat it and we have to live it, and it has to be repeated often. But one of the reasons why you do this each time is to build the habit of doing it. So in my case, it's a young organization. We're small. We're a new company. We're going to grow employees and grow teams and org structures and all that over time. So I want to start the habit on day one of highlighting what our mission, vision, and values are. So it's almost, hey guys, I know you know what the mission is, but we're going to reiterate it just so we can build the repetition and the muscle memory and the habit and the culture of always living in them.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So obviously I totally agree with you with that. So you've now reiterated who you are. You've outlined the start point and the end point, and you're drilling down the funnel. So take us deeper down into the funnel.
Yeah, the last point that I mentioned on mission, vision, and values before we get to the goals themselves is I sought input for, like, we have organizational values. What's important to us as an organization? What do we live in as an organization? I also wanted to highlight our internal values. And I'll give you a couple examples, meaning as a team, internal to each other and the way we work, what are our values? And this isn't something that I publish necessarily at the organizational level like I did. So when I launched the company, I spent time and was very intentional about developing that mission statement, the vision statement, and our company values. I didn't spend a lot of time saying, okay, well, what are the values of each person as it pertains to each other internally? So this was an opportunity, again, to get buy-in and say, what is it that we want? Now I set the direction, but here are some of the examples there. So one of our company values is servant leadership, professionalism, you know, those sort of things. Integrity is a common one, things like that. Well, internally, the value that I really wanted to highlight is trust. If we trust each other. Now, again, externally, we want to be, our vision is to be the most trusted kind of beacon in our industry. But internally, trust should be our top value, because that just goes so far. I said, hey, listen, we start with trust. You don't have to earn trust. You're in this room because you're trusted. Now, you can lose it, but you start with trust. What does that do? That means that if you have an issue, you can come to me. And one, you trust that I'm going to receive it constructively and with an open mind and not backlash or retaliate. And two, I trust that when you come to me with an issue, it's with the mentality of what's best for the organization. So that's just an example of an internal value. I know a lot of times we don't spend time thinking about the difference between company organizational values and internal team values. But I did want to make sure that was abundantly clear to my team.
Well, Jeff, and you didn't go through all your values, you know, just due to lack of time and things like that. But what Jeff is talking about is gold right here. And let me tell you, let's say that your organization has the value of trust. Trust is not just telling the truth. You know, there is that. Am I going to trust you to get your project done? You told me it would be done by Friday. I didn't get it till the following Thursday. I actually made plans as a result of the project coming in. And the way you follow up on that is you can look at your fellow coworkers and say, look, one of our values is trust. Did the event that just happened, did that behavior, did that activity, did that reflect our core value of trust? Did it build trust between us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I always going to have to clean up your mess?
Right.
Am I the one that's always going to have to wind up doing this?
Yeah.
Are you going to be late to the meeting?
Yep.
Are you going to show up prepared? Jeff gave us the agenda in advance. Are you going to be prepared? Are you going to add value when you get here? All of that is trust. And anytime, whether you know it or not, if somebody is late, if a project is late, if you give them a client and they drop the ball on the client and we lose the client, all of those are violations of the value of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's beautiful is Jeff can now follow up, not only as a training exercise, hey, what went wrong? But, you know, we valued trust. We lost some trust there. We need to get some trust back.
Yeah.
So that, and look, Jeff's got more than one, but that is an example of how that value is so important to the success of an organization. So great job, yep. Jeff.
Thanks. Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
If we just spent time kind of reviewing and reiterating sort of the who we are, the big picture stuff, the mission, the vision, and the values, that's who we are and why we exist. The next part gets a little bit more tangible, and this is the exciting point, the exciting part. So we start to talk about goals. This is where you can dream a little bit. You take this as an opportunity to wish and hope and dream. I think it's a good way to approach it is long-term goals. Where do we want to be in 5 years or 10 years? And then more specifically, since it's a year ahead, what do we want to accomplish over the course of the next year? So I sort of started there. I said, hey, in 1 year from now, we want to be up to, and this is dependent upon your organization. It could be a revenue. We want to be up to this revenue. We want to be up to this number of clients or this number of members, or we want to be in 1 year to this level of profitability or solvency or whatever the case may be. It depends on what your mission is, and you determine what that 1 year goal is. Tack that onto that longer term, 5 or 10 years, whatever it's most appropriate, so that your team and yourself can think about the path to that dream, because the long-term goal is sort of that, you know, big, hairy, audacious goal, that dream that you get excited about, that this is, you know, why you join this organization or lead it, because you want to get to the pinnacle. And the 1 year goal is that first sort of step on the way there. So this should be exciting to think about, hey, where do we want to be in the long-term, and where do we want to be in the year from now, which is on the way to that long-term dream.
Yeah. Very good. That's so good, Jeff. And I think that leads us, now that we've identified our dreams, we've identified a strategy. I think now comes number three. This is what, as the old saying goes, separates the men from the boys, or the ladies from the girls, or whatever phrase you want to use.
Yep.
This is now follow through and execution at this point.
That's right. So point three is how. Question is how. How are we going to do this? Those goals are obviously should be ambitious and measurable, but they shouldn't be arbitrary. They should have meaning, and they should have impact. So how do we do it? This is where it starts to get granular, because you're going to want to think backwards from those goals and think about what you can measure, what processes you can do to, usually with an organization, it involves some sort of growth. But how do we do that day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, over the course of the year to ensure that we get there? Because ultimately, you don't want to say, hey, we want to grow by 20% and then do nothing until next December and have no growth and say, okay, now we got to grow 20% this month. You know, another very simple example is, you might say, hey, we want to get 52 new clients. Well, obviously that means about one per week. So what am I doing this week to get that one client? That's if right. I do it again next week, I'll get the next one. And if I do it again the third week, I'll get the third one. And if I do it for 52 weeks, I'll hit that goal. So how do we do it is the next question.
So I want to ask you a question, because I love everything you're just saying. And matter of fact, that's how I lead myself, is that how quickly in this pacing process, Jeff, do you start doing serious course corrections if you're pacing behind?
That's a great question. I like to think about it halfway through the year. Give yourself half a year to really determine if you are off. Because, hey, sometimes we can just, you know, two things can happen. Three things can happen. One is you can be on your way or close to it and make adjustments and you know, accelerate towards it. Sometimes life happens and things change and pandemics hit, and that's just going to change your strategy. And that's always worth revisiting. I mean, personally, we all probably set personal goals for the year. In 2020, probably a third of the way through the year, we said, well, I'm going to have to change my personal goals because everything's different. Sometimes, and I don't think this is very common, if we do those first few things right in terms of mission and all that stuff. But sometimes we just set bad goals that we need to just say, oh, this is a bad idea, let's scrap it. I think that's fairly rare. But I think halfway is about a good time, because you have enough data or progress to give you the feedback required, but enough time to adjust as necessary. You don't want to wait till December, because then it's too late and you wasted a year. Right. You don't want to do it in February, because you didn't even give yourself a chance yet.
Yeah, for me, so, you know, look, every industry is different, because, you know, you may have peaks and things like that throughout the year. You wait 6 months, I usually go quarterly, mm-hmm. you know, unless there is an incredibly bad month and we're like, okay, you know, something's gone really wrong, we need a course correction, you know, because one is an accident, two is a trend. So if we get on, if we're in the hole big time in February, I'm not waiting to the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, definitely. And depending on your organization and the goals themselves, I mean, look, they should be evaluated on an ongoing basis, right? So yeah. I guess it depends on the goal. When you say, okay, based on all the things that we're doing day to day, when is it appropriate to evaluate if all that stuff is possible? Now, if you get into how are we doing it day to day, week to week, and it just ain't working, then you don't have to wait to that time period. But that again, that depends on your team and your culture. But, you know, just to highlight what you're saying is that you do need to have a thorough and somewhat regular evaluation process along the way. Again, you want to shut your eyes and hope it's working until that 6 month mark or whatever it may be. You have to always be evaluating.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, going back to 2020, due to God's goodness and a healthy pipeline and a hot start in 2020, Jeff, I was projected to meet my annual goal in March, by the end of March.
Yeah.
And it was just going to be one of those years that, okay, we're going to set ourselves up for a few years type of thing, you know?
Yep.
Well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And by mid-March, that really healthy pipeline became extraordinarily unhealthy in the course of a few days.
Yep.
And, you know, and those things happen. And, you know, you have to readjust. And there's that evil word pivot. And you got to do all those things. And we all learned how to do that. So, yep. Jeff, I mean, you've given us a great plan here. You know, the preparation, the actual building of the agenda based around a start point, an end point, mission, vision, and values. Out of that flows the goals. And then ambitious, measurable, and constant review of that. I mean, you've given us a goldmine in terms of how to set up an annual plan. Anything else you want to add that we didn't cover?
Yep. So for the last piece of the meeting gets even smaller, even more granular. So a lot of what we've talked about now is sort of that work on the business type stuff. Okay. How do we want to improve the organization? The last one is sort of where the rubber meets the road on all these things, because it's in the business. So how do we improve our operational efficiency, the things that we do day in, day out? In other words, how do we improve the grease or the oil to the machine? Because if all those things are breaking, it's going to be hard to do those things that move you towards your goal, and it's going to be hard to be efficient in achieving your goals. So again, starting bigger picture and getting smaller and smaller, things like workflow, things like task management, things like communication between teams or divisions or groups within, basically different categories of doing the daily work. Is it, you know, a family ministry, another outreach ministry in my industry, the investment process, the financial planning process, the tax process? You kind of dig into all those things and say, hey, how do we make this machine better oiled and more efficient so that everything we just talked about will run smoother and more efficiently?
Yeah. And I think, and that's so good. I think values would drive a lot of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that okay, look, you know, and you can pick whatever operational efficiency you would like to pick. But yeah, based upon who we are, what our culture is, what we're trying to accomplish, how do we improve our, you know, how do we improve our CRM?
Yep.
How do we improve our follow-up with our customers? You know, how do we improve our presentations, our website, you know, mm-hmm. just all those different, yeah, you know, just, there's just numerous operational efficiencies. So,
yeah.
All right. That is very good, Jeff. Very good. Any final thoughts or any high level advice that you would have for leaders as we head into 2023?
Yeah, I'll just end with kind of the follow-up or the last piece, which is the after. And we talked about it a little bit, but it's important at the end or immediately after to basically restate what's been talked about, the directions that have been determined, the goals and the processes that we'll put in place. So restate those. Kind of review those after the fact. And importantly, delegate responsibility to different people to take responsibility over each of those items, processes, tasks, goals, whatever it is. That's the delegation piece where we're all going to have ownership. I'm going to restate what we talked about. I'm going to restate how we're going to do it. And I'm going to make sure that somebody is in charge with tracking and monitoring that going forward. And then the, you know, once a month reviews or quarterly reviews or that 6 month azimuth check, all those sort of things. We talked about it a little bit in the follow-up of constantly evaluating going forward, but it's helpful to restate and delegate so that nothing gets dropped. And so everything isn't resting on one person's management of numerous different things.
And Jeff, I love the restate concept. You know, Annie Stanley's got that great phrase, when you get tired of casting the vision is when the people are just beginning to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to continually drive home the goals, the mission, the vision, the values, the strategy. You always have to keep driving that home. People don't drift into efficiency. They don't default to efficiency. They default to inefficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And the restating of that and the giving them ownership through delegation of that process, you're right, Jeff. That's the glue that holds everything together that we've talked about up until this point. So,
yep. So my advice to leaders as they move into 2023 and start to run through this process or something similar is to just be intentional. Don't let the next time period, whether it's year or 5 years, progress on accident. So when I was in the Army and we deployed for 12 to 15 months, you know, I'm in my early 20s as a leader with 17, 18, 19 year old guys. And I would tell them, don't be the same person when we come back from this deployment that you are today. Because you could be an 18-year-old today and play video games and go on your missions and then play video games and wake up a year from now and be the same person, but 19 years old. Pick a fitness goal, read some books, read the Bible, whatever the case is, take some online course or something. So between now and 1 year from now, you're not the same person, because in that environment, life stands still, basically. Now, that's just an example, but the same is true for all of us throughout life. If we don't do something intentional, then we're accidentally going to be in the same spot that we are. So for the leaders, be intentional about this, dream, have fun with it, and then actually set up a process in a meeting like this so it actually happens.
Well, I can tell you this. Jeff Wright, on a future podcast, I want to dive deeper into when somebody's deployed for 12 to 18 months, how do they grow as a person?
Yeah.
And we don't need to talk about the combat side unless you want to bring that up. But okay, when life is standing still, how do you grow as a leader? Yeah. I think that would be a genius thought. And speaking of that, I'll give you my overarching for 2023. And it really kind of follows Jeff. It made me think about that. At the end of 2023, you don't want to be the same person you were at the start of 2023. You will want to have grown. And I firmly believe this. I mean, I work with churches, and it definitely applies to churches, but I think it applies to everything. COVID stripped away all the non-essentials. You know, COVID stripped away everything that was a mirage at churches, in your family, with your health, with your finances, at your business, with your relationships. It really stripped everything down to its essence. And so what I'm really focusing on right now, and what I'm talking to leaders about, is it's not so much what you do, it's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And this, here's the thing. Jeff talked about the importance of values. Who Jeff is and the type of people he brings into his organization is going to determine its culture. Culture is who you hire. Mm. And that is ultimately how they live out their life. It's what's going to result in their dreams being accomplished and their goals being hit. Now, obviously, there's work to do within that. But growing organizations are grown by growing leaders. And it's not so much what you do, it's who you are. And the doing flows from who you are. So that's the number one. That's my overarching thing. Develop a personal growth plan so that you're not the same person at the end of 2023 that you are at the end of 2022 and the start of 2023. By the way, cheap plug, one of the best ways you can do that is listen to this podcast on a regular basis. Jeff and I will definitely help you grow as an individual. But Jeff, this has been absolute gold as always. It's been an absolute honor taking this journey with you. You helped a lot of people today. You helped me. And I just wish you and Laura and your family just a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian, for those words. And the same to you and to the listeners. You guys have a very Merry Christmas, a happy Christmas, prosperous new year, and take 2023 by storm. Get after it. So thanks for listening. Remember to serve others, not as a task, but as a purpose.